All right, welcome back. My glasses are fogging over, but that's all fun. So, actually, one of my very, very favorite songs in the world is Great is Thy Faithfulness. This is an old Baptist hymn, I think. That's what Norma said, came out of Baptist hymnal. But, you know, this is a classic, classic song. And this is a song Mike and I sing a lot in our fellowship when we have our once-a-month meetings. We have a few little hymns, and we do a few of your songs, too, but I just adore this song. And this is beautiful. This is kind of an honor of Kathy, too, so as Kathy's going to speak to us. So in the very front cover of this book, Martha put the words. Do you guys have it back there?
Right,
yes. They need a book back. Yep. Karen, oh, you have one now? Okay. All right. So Norma's gonna, we're gonna attempt to sing the song. All right? Here we go.
Do you think we should stand up for this one?
Oh, good.
If you want to, you can stand up.
We should stand up for this one because we just
All right.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful song, but we are not going to lament over it.
No.
But by the way, there was a question here on the desk, and Kathy will answer that question as she feels fit to do it at this particular time. So I will just invite you to come up now and share with us what has been given to you.
Of the God. Can you take the floor so we can see your face?
You don't need to say that. No zooming.
Yeah, we're zooming on you, baby.
No zooming.
Zooming.
Sorry, gosh, hang on. I can't find what I'm... Here I am.
Everything's upside down.
It's all right.
It's all right.
All is well. All is well.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. It's very important that I I haven't started, have you? Okay. What I'm going to do is tell you a story. This story is an incident that actually happened to me, and I wrote it down at the time because it's in the detail. The message is in the detail. So, okay, I'll just read it to you, but it happened to me, okay? What do you see? I was looking at a tray of breakfast. I had on it a white slice of bread and a small package of jam and a cup of hot water with a tea bag. Straight away in my head, this is just not good enough. How could they present this? I ate it because I had no choice. I had to have it, and I had no choice. Do they think I'm in prison? Says me. Next morning, I was looking at a tray, and on it was a small container of apricots, some porridge, a small roll with butter and honey, and a cup with water in it and a tea bag. My reaction, what sort of chef do they have here? I pay good money to be here. The apricots are dry, the porridge is that original stuff made with water, and the roll is very small, and the tea is lukewarm. As I'm processing this, and obviously my attitude and my feelings were critical, as I'm processing all of this, I realised I had a thought. In amongst all that, I had a thought. See beauty. Huh. But as I began to eat, my mind was judging. It tasted bland, the fruit looks tasteless. See beauty, it came again. That thought came once more. This time, it got my attention. You see, the day before when I was contemplating, I meditating and feeling good about meditating, I actually asked the question, how is it that receiving this truth, understanding it and knowing it, how do we live this in our everyday practical life? How do we live this truth in the little things? You know, ask the question, what do you get? you get the answer. So I was contemplating, and I did ask the question, how do we live and experience this truth in our day, right here and right now? It says in Scripture, change the location of your thinking, which is the word repent. Mm-hmm. Change the location of your thinking. It's simple, and we've heard it mm-hmm. 1,000 mm-hmm. times, but what do we see? You see, we are seeing creatures. We are creatures of awareness, and what you see, what you dwell in right now, you will live out that experience today, mm-hmm. tomorrow, the next day. Okay, where am I? It says in Scripture, change the location of your thinking. What do you see, Jeremiah? I have worked hard to change my thinking when feeling negative and fear, responding with truth from the word or in a song. And I do that. The word comes to me in a situation where fear and negativity is confronting. And it does. It lifts me up. It helps me. But how do I live it as my experience? But I always find, you know, that personal sense, inclination, is always the first thing to come back. Even though I'm singing a song or I'm speaking the word, that personal inclination comes back. So as I'm looking at my tray, now not forgetting, it got my attention. See beauty. So I'm looking at my tray and I'm eating the porridge, and honestly, this was genuine. The thought came, this is the same stuff that Mum used to make when I'm eating the porridge. You know? I remember the creamy taste and the consistency. I looked at the fruit and thought, I like apricots best of all. They did a good job to pick the right fruit. And as I'm looking, the thought, see beauty and not criticism. So I knew that it, you know, in this world, in every single situation that we face, you've got a choice. You've got a choice. It's only when you become aware that you've got a choice that you can put aside that criticism and begin to see beauty in every single thing that is confronting you. So that's what it said. As I'm looking, the thought, see beauty and not criticism, or not judging, as we've been hearing all morning. Then I looked at my tray with the intention to see beauty. I put the fruit on the porridge. It was sweet and creamy. I ate the roll. It was still warm, and with a bit of honey, it was delicious. I drank the lukewarm tea, but I did feel a sense of appreciation. Instead of feeling critical, I could feel a difference in my own seeing. Okay? The next meal was lunch. Excuse me. I looked at my tray. The first thing I had was the tea. And it was hot. Then I had a delicious meal with the exact right veggies. Then I had a lovely orange brulee with a sponge finger brick. I tell you what, it was yummy. I looked at my tray and it was beauty. And when I told the girl, when the girl came back from my tray, when I told her, I could see her face lighter with kindness, you know, with the kindness. We are looking at the same tray with all the same stuff on it. What are we eating? Our own attitude toward that tray. Mm-hmm. Yes, as I'm looking, it's taken on a whole different perspective. Instead of seeing critical, judging, annoyed, self-important, you know, point of view, I could see they picked the right fruit. The porridge was the porridge brought back lovely memories, and the kindness was actually what I really wanted to express. So that's that incident, what do you see, has actually led to two scriptures that I want to share with you. We talk so much, don't we? We have so much knowledge. So it's not about the words that I use. And actually, Mike said it this morning. We use words, and sometimes they come out wrong. They come out different to the way you're actually making that point. So don't look at the words and don't hear the words. What I want you to do is to hear the lifting up. Because I tell you what, I got lifted up. If nobody else gets it, it doesn't matter, because I get it. I really got it. And it's a moment in time where I stepped up. I took a step up. So I just want to share these scriptures with you. There's obviously a lot of notes, but I'm just going to go with the word. So let's do this. As you can see, I've been... John 8. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus, wherever he went, he gathered the crowds. And he spoke openly to them. He spoke of the Father. He spoke of how to live. He spoke of heaven. He told us where the kingdom is. He spoke all these things that were truth. What is truth? Truth is truth. And he spoke the truth. You know, we have a concept of Jesus. Our concept is a traditional concept of Jesus. It's a historical concept of Jesus. I'm talking about the whole world and the knowledge that we have of Jesus. His name is even used in anger and in slang and in fear. Where do you go to when you die? How do you say it? Where will you go today if you die? It's used in fear. Mm-hmm. But the Jesus that is portrayed in the Word has got nothing to do with the knowledge that we have of him.
Yeah.
He actually spoke, he says here, I only speak those things that my Father teaches me. He says, I of myself am doing nothing. I'll start reading it because it's important for us to speak. Okay. He said to them, you are of that which is below. This is John 8. You are of that which is below. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Already, he's differentiating what we are living in and the concepts that we have compared to what he is speaking. Okay, so you are of that which is below. I am of that which is above. So there's a difference. You are of this world. I am not of this world. He did not differentiate the world compared to something else. There is no world. But Jesus is not of where man's concepts lay. Okay? So, I said then, I know it's different English to like the King James, but I got the revelation in my little New Testament concordance. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said then to you that you shall be dying in your sins. Now that's pretty harsh. But listen to this. For if ever you should not be believing in me, that I am. If ever you should not be believing that I am, you are dying in your sins. Okay? Now let me just Okay. The word believe, everything, every single thing that Jesus said had a point to it. It wasn't just flippant language. He was making a point with every single thing he said. He said it twice. If you are not believing, he didn't say if you're not believing in me. He didn't say that. He said if you are not believing that I am, you will continue to die in your sins. But what does that mean? The word believe is actually to see. It is expectation. And our expectation in this world thus far has been a belief in our own self-importance. That's what we believe. As a world, we believe in our own selfish pride, our own selfishness, our own ego. It's our own self-importance. So we do believe, and Jesus knew that we have to start somewhere. You've got to begin by seeing something. And that's why he said, believe on me. Start somewhere. Because it's in what you see is what you will experience. So he's saying here, I said then to you that you shall be dying in your sins if ever you should not be believing me that I am, you shall be dying in your sins. That word believe is to be, here it is here, to be convinced, to be convicted outside the sphere of observation, to be convinced of something that you cannot see, something that is outside the sphere of observation. It's got nothing to do with the appearance. If you're looking at Jesus and Jesus is speaking the word, they believed on him because they saw something. They saw something that was not according to the appearance. So that word believe is expectation, and we all have it. We all have expectation. What I'm going to do tomorrow, what I'm going to do whenever. It's something that you see, and though that whatever you see is what you be. What you be is what you see. What am I today? Know thyself. What am I saying? What am I doing? What do I believe? Okay, so there also is in that word what came about was that sense of expectation is there is a sense keeper within you. There is a sense keeper. There is a faculty. There is a mechanism within you, and as soon as you see, then you begin to understand something. It's nothing you can do of yourself. It is the born-again experience, because we cannot see anything spiritual in our human comprehension. With our mind, you cannot understand the things of God. So if you know one thing that is spiritual, you are seeing anew. And that is what the born-again experience is. It's simply to see and understand spiritual things. Okay? Okay. Am I talking too fast?
No. Just right.
Okay, so if you are not believing me that I am, you are dying in your sins. Now, why did he say it twice? So if we do not see the I am, you are dying in your sins. To die it's not a flat out experience. To die is simply to lose touch of God. You lose touch of that possession in God that we were given. I'll tell you why in a minute. It's just beautiful. I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'll get there. To die is to lose something and it becomes beyond your reach. And that's what this world is operating in. It's operating in a world that what they're looking for is beyond their reach. So many men, I call them men, everyone is a man, are looking and searching for the truth. We have it in us. There is a sense keeper in there. And as soon as you see it, that mechanism, that faculty opens up and you begin to see what love really is. You begin to see and understand things of the spirit. Okay? So, So to lose is for that thing, that possession, to become out of one's possession, beyond reach. Okay? Sin is simply missing the mark, as we understand and as we know. It's making that mistake in our experience that we're having. It's to fail of the ideal. Now, what is the ideal? That I am created in the beginning. The highest order of life is the ideal. And in sin, man fails of that ideal. So you see, what Jesus is saying here, if you do not be believing me that I am, you will continue to, it will continue to beyond your reach, to be beyond your reach, and you will fail of the ideal. You will fail of your true heritage that belongs to you. You will fail of that if you continue to die in your sin. If you, if it's still beyond your reach, repent, make a change, because it. I tell you what. That sense keeper, that faculty or mechanism, that believing mechanism, because it doesn't know whether you believe in God or whether you believe in your own self-importance. It's just going to work. It's a mechanism within everyone that will support whatever you choose to listen to or to believe. Whatever you choose, it's your choice. Next verse. Let's go. Okay. If ever, verse 24, where are we? Yeah. Okay. They said then to him, they said, he was talking to the crowd, and in them were the priests and the Pharisees and the disciples and the people. And so he was telling all of them that if you are not believed, you will continue to die in your sins. It will continue to be out of your reach. And you will fail of your own substance and true nature of being. Then they said to him, who are you? Now, what a pertinent question is that.
Yeah.
Who are you? So, you know what he told them? Jesus then said to them, from the beginning what I am speaking also to you, I'm not good at reading, so just bear with me. I'll put it in my words. From the beginning I've been speaking to you, and you've asked me the question, who are you? Listen to the answer. I am what I am speaking. I am what I am speaking. speaking. Now, don't forget, before that he was talking to them about the kingdom. He told them, I'm the light of the world. He told them, ye be the light of the world. All those things that he was talking about, he was talking about heaven, he did a whole lot of stuff. So all of that inclusive, they asked him, who are you? He said, I am what I am speaking to you. What I hear is what I am speaking. And then he went on to say, much have I to be speaking concerning you. He who sends me is true. And what I hear from him, these things I am speaking to the world. What I hear from him, these things am I speaking to the world. And then there's a little note that says, they knew not that he said this of the Father. It was beyond their reach. Isn't that beyond our reach? And we think we know something? Don't you? I mean, that blew me away. I am what I am speaking. That is beyond the reach of the human mind to comprehend. How can you say you are what you're speaking? What does that mean? It's to be convinced beyond the sphere of observation. We're looking at something other than the appearance. He's actually saying, I am what I am speaking to you. Sorry. I get very excited. I'm very excited. What I am speaking to you. I am what I am speaking to you. Should we just sit with that for a minute?
Yeah.
No, that's tricky.
Okay. So we're looking at something beyond our observation, beyond the sphere of even reading these today. We're looking beyond the sphere of observation. In a sense, we're looking at it from that sense. Not literally, it says. We're not looking at it, even the words. We're not looking at them literally. We're looking at them from a sense. Can't you feel that lifting up? Oh, boy. So, do you know, we actually needed Jesus to speak something radical like this for us to come back to what is true, because we get a concept about him saying, believe in me or believe on me. We get a concept about that and we think we're right. But in actual fact, we needed the declaration. We needed to know that this thing is not knowable in our reasoning. It's beyond our reach in our reasoning. So, So they did not know that he was talking to them of the Father, but he did, and he told them that my Father is true. He, what else did he say? I am speaking concerning you. He who sends me is true, and what I hear from him, these things I am speaking to the world. They knew not that he said this to them of the Father. Then he says, we're still going on, Jesus then said to them again that what it says, that whatever you should, whenever you should be exalting the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Okay? He's actually saying to them, hold on there, when you see something, you'll actually know what I'm talking about. You'll actually see that I am. Because if you don't see that I am, you will continue to, it will continue to be out of your reach. It will continue to be beyond your reach. Why? Because we can't see it unless we see it. So he's saying to them, I know, Jesus said to them again, he actually said, when you lift up the Son of Man, he's talking about when you crucify the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Why? Because he proved that there is no death. Death simply is that spiritual understanding of the action of life being beyond our reach in this human reasoning.
Yes.
Yeah? So, that is what the I am is. It's the action of life. And it's actually, I've got the scripture, so I'll do that. I'll do that in a minute. So, what am I saying here? a whole lot of words, but it is the most essential sense that we can listen to.
Yeah.
And it's in our willingness to listen. Be convinced that I am. It's understood in a sense. It's not understood literally. It's about seeing, this is what Jesus was talking about here. He was saying, see that I am. So as that the mechanism in myself to see anew is the born again experience in each one of us.
Yeah.
Do you see? It's to see anew. And that mechanism that everybody has is that born again experience. And it's not anything that you can do of yourself. It's just continue to look into that glass and you will be transformed into that same image. As you continue to look, I'm not sure where that scripture is, but it's in one. Okay. So, life and understanding is out of our reach. But when Jesus was lifted up, all men will see. All men will see that I am. Okay? You will see the action of life, and that is what the resurrection is. It's not some, actually, it was kept secret. There were only a few that understood and that knew that Jesus had risen. Rumours got around, but essentially there were only a few that actually saw that action of life. And that's what resurrection is. And that's what happens to each one of us in our experiences. That action of life begins to bubble up and it becomes that effervescent experience that Abraham had way back when. So, did we get that?
Yeah.
Yep. So, I am what I am speaking. Just dwell on that for 100 years. I'm just going to go to now, because this is, because see, that incident with the tray actually was the beginning of this whole unfolding, and I'm no different to anybody, but I really did think that I had the understanding of living the principles of life, and yet faced with that tray experience, I knew how self-important I felt and how justified that it was. Here's me, you're meant to be helping me, you're meant to be doing these things for me. What do you think, I'm in prison, you know? It was my own attitude, and I'm very thankful to have seen it in myself. Because once I saw it in myself, and I saw my own reaction, I could do something about it. But before that, I thought I knew something. I thought I was living love my neighbour as myself, forgive 70 times 7, and I forgive John all the time. So, you know, I'm living it. But little did I know there was that sense of self-importance. And poor John here. Sorry. Okay, now I'm going to Jeremiah, and I'm just going to... I love this. I love this. We've heard this how many thousands of times? I tell you what, listen this time with a whole new spin. It's got a whole new spin on it. And there are things in there that I didn't know were there. And you think you do, you know. It's amazing. I'm not going to read it out. I find that reading the scriptures through, you know, I just go to sleep. Because we do. We think we know them. I'll read out a little bit. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, listen to this. I am going to read it. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Okay, do you want to know who you are before you were born? Yes. This is going to tell you.
Yes.
This is going to tell you who you are before you were born. Because that's what we're looking for, aren't we?
Yeah.
He talks about the kingdom. What does that mean? He talks about heaven. What does that mean? Let's find out who we are before I was born. Sorry, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God knows you. Now I want to know what he knows about me. That is eternal life.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to know myself the way I am known of God.
Yes.
Therein is eternal life. So, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I made you holy.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you like that? Before you were born, I made you holy. Okay? I ordained you. That word holy, before you were born, I made you holy. You know what it is? It's to be in touch with God. That's what the thing told me. It's to be in touch with God. Now, not forgetting that sin, dying is to be beyond our reach. So something is out of our reach when we are dying in our sin. This is telling us, before you were born, I made you holy. I made you in touch with God. There is that that is within you that is in touch with God.
Yeah.
Okay, it's there. We all have it. So, I'll go down a little bit further. I ordained you to the nations. I made you holy before you were born. I made you holy. And he goes on and he goes on. And then he says, do not say I am a youth. Do not say I am inexperienced. Do not say I can't do this. Do not say I feel inadequate. God says, do not say that. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody said this morning about all the things we say. I've got a headache. I feel sick. I've got this. Do not say.
Yes.
Do not say. Do not say. Okay? For I am with you. To deliver you, says the Lord. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I'm just going to go over here because this is what you are before you were born. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. This is God. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. I made you holy. Before you were born, I appointed you. I ordained you to the nations. All this is before you were born. Okay? Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have put my words in your mouth. So you even have the words put. put in your mouth before you were born. Can I read it again? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I made you holy. Before you were born, I appointed you. I ordained you to the nations. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have put my word in your mouth to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, we all have a pretty good idea of what that is, but we don't really, you know. I have put my word in your mouth to root out and pull down the identity other than the image of God.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Do you see? It's not pulling down and making war. It's to pull down and root out. And how does that happen? I have put my word in your mouth, and as I speak, Jesus said, believe that I am. And I only say those things my Father tells me. And as I speak, that identity other than the image of God is rooted out and pulled down. Okay? And then it says to destroy and to throw down that thing that sees calamity and disaster. I'll explain that in a little, in 1 minute. Don't go away. And then it says to build and to plant. You see, what Jeremiah was asked is, what do you see? And he actually said, I'm alert. I'm alert. And understanding the action of life. And God said, you have seen well.
Yeah.
Then he said, you have seen well, Jeremiah. Then he said, I am watching to perform my word. Do you understand how great that is to know that I don't even, as soon as I see that I am, then I am watching to perform my word, grace and truth in the earth. As soon as I see that I am watching to perform my word, he says. Okay. This I have done. I formed you and I made you holy. I appointed you. I ordained you. I put my words in your mouth. Now, does that give you any idea of what you are before you were born? It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's like what Jesus said, I am what I am speaking to you. It's beyond our reach to comprehend what we are in God before we were born. You can only sense it. You can only know it as you know God. I can't say to you, you were like this and you were physical and you weren't any of those things, because they're words. Do you see? Okay. This I have done. I have formed you. I have made you holy. I appointed you. I ordained you. You are the substance and the nature of harmony and order and action of life. That's what you are. And it's holy. And it's not a physical form. It's expressed as the Word made flesh. And all of us want to express the fullness of that grace and truth. It's expressed through this physical, but you cannot call it physical. Do you see?
Yeah.
Okay, so do not say, I can't do it. Do not say, I am a youth. Do not say, I'm inexperienced, or I'm sick, or I'm lonely, or I'm whatever. Do not say, hold, put a watch over my mouth, that I will not sin against
me.
So, do not say, I am young and fresh and inexperienced. Before you were born, I made you holy. I made you in touch with God. So don't forget, to die is to lose the ability to see our spiritual heritage. It's beyond our reach. That's what to die is about. So do not say, I do not have, because to him that have, more will be given.
Yeah.
To him that have not, even what he has will be taken away. I just want to read this bit because it... what do you see? So, what do you see? Here it is. I have the freedom to choose. I have the freedom to decide what I see. Then Jeremiah in one verse says, I see a branch of an almond tree. I am alert. I see the action of life, he says. You have seen well. I am watching to perform my word. So, now, verse 13 says, the word came a second time. Yes. Wait for this one. The word came a second time. Do you know it never comes a second time? Once the word is spoken, it is still. Because it's not going to relate to your mind. It's going to relate to that sense keeper.
Yep.
That is in union. And that's my longing, to be in union and in touch with that I am in the beginning. I can't put a name on it anymore. All I can say is, I am that. And I was ordained, and I was appointed, and I have the words put in my mouth before I was born. It knew me, and it put me in touch with God. Mm-hmm. That's what I am. Before I was born. Do you see? So what is this that the word came a second time? When it comes a second time, it's not God. It's judgment. And you listen to this. It's judgment, criticism, disaster, and destruction. And it goes on in verse 14 to talk about calamity and says, I will utter my judgments against them concerning their wickedness. Now, does that sound like God? No, it isn't. This is not the word. This is not the nature of God. God is watching to perform my word. Do you see that? God is watching. I am watching to perform my word. If we listen to this word that came a second time, it will be very still and not say a word. So the same thing that happened to Jeremiah, that word came a second time, the same thing happened to Adam,
yeah,
and the same thing happened to Abraham,
mm-hmm,
and the same thing happened to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God speaks the action of life and then is still and is watching to perform it. It speaks and then is watching to perform it. It does not come a second time and tell you something else. So what came a second time? With Moses, Moses instituted the law of command because he saw that the people were unworthy for the principle of life, to live the principle. He judged them. Is that how you say it? He judged them unworthy. So that was the word that came the second time to him. For Adam, he felt he needed a companion. What were you? I need a woman, or I need a wife. He said, I need a helpmate, was what he said. I need something outside of myself. The word came a second time. He already had his substance and nature in God. And he asks for something outside of himself. And that's the deception. That is the deception all of us put up with in this world, you know.
Mm.
Abraham, He needed a son. So what came a second time? Self-importance, selfish pride, which is the ego. I need something. That is the self-importance that draws us in this world. Now, I was going to go back to something. I was talking about to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. You are ordained. You are appointed because the word is in your mouth. Every single one born has the word and has the appointment and the ordination to pull down, to root out and to pull down the identity other than the image of God. It's the dying daily in yourself. That is where we root out and pull down that identity other than the image of God. To destroy and to throw down that thing that sees calamity and disaster, which is what was told to Jeremiah. It says in verse 14, do you want me to read it then? The Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster and calamity shall break forth. That is not God talking about, and on all the inhabitants of the land, for behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdom to the north. They shall, that, there's a whole lot of talk there, but that essentially what we are doing is identifying what is the true nature of that I am. And as I see that I am in touch with it. And if I am in touch with it, I am watching to perform my word. So you have seen well. God said to Jeremiah when he said, I see the action of life. I see a rod. I see the action of life. You have seen well, and I am watching to perform my word. It's about sensing. It's about seeing with a sense. It's not about seeing literally. You can't even take any of the word literally. It's about seeing with that sense. And if I am in an attitude, and that tray could have been beautiful, but my attitude was what I saw on that tray. There is nothing outside of ourselves that is our problem. Anything that we say is a problem, we have to begin to know myself. Know thyself. Why am I feeling this is a problem? You see, it's in knowing yourself that you come to an understanding and you are empowered to do something about it. You can make the change. Change the location of your thinking. Okay. So it's all about, what do you see? What do you see? What do I see? Do you know, man is a creature of awareness. That's what we are. We're not a physical, mental being. That physical, mental part of us is part of the mechanism that expresses the awareness that I am in. And if I am judging, I will express that through this physical, mental awareness. Okay? So we are actually, it says here, we are of quicken. Vivifying is to make alive together. That is the resurrection life that Jesus displayed to us. It's the action of life, and we all have it. We all have it. But how do we make a change? How do we how do we make a change, you know? It's taken me so long. I know now that I don't think the way I used to think. I don't feel about myself the way I used to feel about. I know that I have grown in wisdom and in understanding. And it says, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. I know that I am not that passive martyr that I used to be, serving everybody, you know, doing all I could to please other people. I know that that is not what I am any longer, but where it says do not say, I still say those inadequate things and I still feel them about myself. So how do I make a change? By becoming aware of the principles, by beginning to actually live the principles. Do you know that guilt, when you live in guilt, that it is the lowest energy, because we are energy beings. We are vibrating beings. Tony's talked about it before. He'll go like this and say, even this table, if you go right down into it, it's little molecules that are bumping together and stuff, you know?
They don't bump together.
Yeah, that's right. They don't bump together. And neither does... But we see things physically. And we are actually made... Our experience is an experience of energy, and guilt is the lowest energy that you will still survive, but you can't, like if a beggar comes and wants $2 off you, there is no way that beggar can ask for $500, even if you say, how much do you want? Because their lowest esteem of themselves will not allow them to ask for more than they think that you will give them, or more than they think that they are worth. They can't ask for, and when you give them whatever, be it $20 or be it $500, they would be thrilled with the $20 because you have been generous to them. But to ask for that, they could not do it, because in operating in the lowest level, and I've got a list. Do you want to know the list? Mm-hmm. I've got a list of how even anger. Anger is a higher energy level than guilt and shame. It is better for you to be angry than it is to be ashamed. Do you see? You're giving off, it's not good either, but it's a higher energy. At least you might say, yes, give me that. I need it, you know? So, the mechanism for man's experience. I was sitting on the beach down at Inverloch, and I took my little book with me, and I was just contemplating, and this just came out on the page. So I'm reading what I wrote at Inverloch before. Oh dear. I was thinking about the awareness that we live in, the awareness that we are, and how that is such a drastic change from who we think we are, mm-hmm. and what we operate in as a physical, mental being. So knowing that we are creatures of awareness, and that we have energy, depending on our own attitude, we have energy levels that we express. Someone who is very happy will come into the room and lighten up the whole room. Someone else who may come in who is very depressed can dampen the whole atmosphere. And this is what we're talking about. Do you know, Jesus said, come up higher, come up to the mountain, look up and see. And he said, if you don't believe me that I am, you will continue to be out of real reach and you will continue to fail in life, fail of the ideal that you truly are. So come up, look up, come up and see, come up to the mountain, come up higher, look up. They're everywhere, aren't they? A thousand of them. What you see is what you be. The mechanisms for man's experience is to bring about his experience through the mind of what he is aware of, what he is influenced by. So you should say to yourself, what am I listening to? Who is guiding me? Who's giving me advice? What am I impressed by? What is on the telly 24 hours a day? I had a phone call during the week and this, my friend, she said to me, Kathy, I just rang you to just have a talk. She said, I feel so low. And I said, oh, what have you been doing? What have you been listening to? And she said, the television and the earthquake and the... And I looked at it for about half an hour because John said I should keep up with the news.
Yeah.
So I looked at it. And do you know, they were just reinforcing the same scenes and the same interviews and the same things that they were saying over and over. And no wonder she felt low. You know, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what advice is given. Be careful, and if it's the television, turn it off, because it does have an influence on where we operate in our energy level. Okay, so
that's so true.
So, what you see is what you be. What you let be in you is what you will experience. There are levels of understanding that produce in us our emotional state. And we know who emotional man is, don't we? Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Do you know that scripture where Jesus said that, just before that, he was actually talking about it going away to his disciples, and his disciples were being very nice, saying, don't go, we don't want you to go, we need you, we love you, we want you here. And Jesus' response to that was, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. I followed that through, and it is emotional man trying to hang on to that we think is going outside of ourselves, that we think is going to fulfill our needs or give us our food or help us with what we need. Do you see? That is emotional man, and that is the prince of this world, and that is that emotional man gathers our experience in this world.
Okay.
So, emotional man. Jesus said, come up higher, look up and see, come up to the mountain. He said, I am from above. What was he meaning? He was saying, I only say those things that I'm in touch with my Father, that you are in touch with before you were born. You have it right where you are.
Wow.
Then I've got a little note here. Please note, no matter how much I protest, I am totally responsible for everything that happens to me in my life. Another little note. I am free to decide what I see. This is on the beach at Inverloch. What drives my life today is the awareness or the energy in my present moment, in my now moment. Okay. My judgments prevent me from seeing the good that lies beyond appearances. My judgments prevent me from seeing the good that lies beyond appearance. I was looking at the sea and I thought, well, it's overcast, it's a bit flowy, it's a bit, you know, and this comes. My judgments prevent me from seeing the good that lies beyond, beyond appearances. And I thought, my judgments, it's overcast, it's blowy, the waves are coming. And do you know what? I'm sitting there, sea beauty, and the sun comes out. And I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, I believe it.
So what is the self-survival human awareness? I've got 5 minutes. Shame and guilt, apathy. This is going up the scale. Shame and guilt, apathy and despair, fear and anxiety, anger, that's up a little bit, self-importance and selfish pride. Now, that's the ego, and that's the whole package that constitutes the ego. Mm. This level of awareness is from below. Jesus said, you are from below. I am from above. He differentiated it. He showed us there's a difference, and I'm showing you why in our everyday practical life, because these are the feelings that we live with every single day. These feelings are of this world of tribulation. It is the world of emotional man, judging by appearances, attitude of criticism, pointing the finger to someone else that they are my problem. Herein lies that self-survival. Its end is humiliation. These are the outworking of those feelings. Humiliation, blame, regret, anxiety, anger and hate, selfish pride and scorn. These feelings man lives with every day. No wonder he is at war with himself and at war with each other.
Yeah.
The awareness of emotional man just causes him weakness and disease, fear and death. Leave behind the images of death and destruction. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Come up higher. Come up higher with that expectation. For the thoughts that I think toward you, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
God says, the thoughts that I think toward you are to give you
mm-hmm.
an expectation of good.
Mm-hmm.
So come up higher where you will find rest for your soul. So, amen. I think amen. Do you want me to...
You want to do it or want me?
I don't want... I think I'm finished.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do that.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Beautiful. So.
Lovely.
There was a wonderful exposition and insight into the mystery of what God is and what man is and what man is in his experience of knowing the truth.
Yeah.
You see, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth.
Yeah.
And when you know it, it makes you free.
Yeah.
Mm. But then it says something more. If the Son then makes you free. Now, why is it that it has to be the Son that makes you free? Because, you see, the question is here on the table here, what is the Lord? Well, the Lord is the Spirit. And the Spirit is the reigning majesty that sustains and maintains everything by the word of its own power. Without any correction or change of dimensions, God or the Lord God is the dimension of life that we are speaking about. That is the Lord. But then, of course, the question is then, how does the Lord fit in with God and Jesus. Well, you see, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Lord. You have seen the Father. Because that is the uniqueness of Jesus. The only one that was able to live in a perception of reality, while the rest of all religion and their interpretations of what they thought God was, or Jesus in relation to God, have misconstrued the whole thing. See? So we cannot accept that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily expressed in revelation. But like what Kathy and what we all have been saying is, the human mind that lives in its own ego would say, I am the Lord. Or I am already that. See? And let me tell you, then the worms will eat you. And you will finally die in your sin. Now this is of course a hard saying, but that's how it is. You cannot say, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Because you're not hearing what I'm saying. This is why we're not hearing what Jesus is saying. This is why we are still continue to deteriorate. And we put the emphasis on everything else, trying to find reality or truth. And let me tell you, you cannot find it. It's in no other way. This is the way. What you heard today is the way to understand, to perceive the reality of what you're hearing, to line yourself up with the process of the thoughts of God, not your own thoughts or your own opinions, but your own sense mechanism, which is not the five senses. They are spiritual senses that can be exercised by the willingness to submit your ear to listening.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
And if you submit yourself to listening, then you will find out what the Lord is. And then you will find out who or what Jesus really is. And Jesus is the ascended one, the only one that ascended to the highest of highest and came back to the Father with the good report, I finished the work, and now I can usher them all in back into the place where they came from before they were born. So basically, that's where the Lord fits in. And where Jesus and the Lord, or whatever you like to call it, it's not really necessary, because all those three are one and there is no differentiation. Except that if I would say the Lord is the Spirit and Jesus became the total obedient one that emanated and outrayed that light of glory that was in the beginning with God. This is why he could rise from the dead and ascend on high and became Lord Jesus Christ. That's right written on the top there. You see? Now I'm telling you that when even Paul experienced that, and many times the religious cults would say, don't you ever speak in that name again. And the scripture also said, at this name, Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's how it is. Now you might have different ideas, it's okay with me. But just before you kick the bucket, come and listen to the truth, so you can get something before you enter into the next dimension. And you come back always to the lower dimension. When you leave, you return in the lower dimension, even further down the ladder, so that you must go up and up and up, and eventually you have to acknowledge, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's what I believe. I hope you all believe that too, because I know it has wonderful benefits. And joy and peace that Jesus came to bring. My peace, my harmonious relationship that I have with my Father, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a realm for you. And that realm is prepared in this seminar, in this, well, whatever you call it. We have been prepared by the various speakers, and we are risen, or we have been rising into a higher realm. Don't let the robber come and steal it from you. But somebody say, you know, that's only a month, you know, whatever. But you want some science. You want some magic. Yeah, well, let's want science and magic, but the only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonah. Mm. Who finished up 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the fish. But when he repented, the fish spat him out on dry ground. And then he could continue in a whole new order of things. His grace and truth. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Kathy. That was wonderful.
I have a song that I just have to sing. I have to sing the song. It's something that Kathy mentioned a little bit, and it's
stand up.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. I'll sit it. Can I just sit down and sing it? Because
I'm gonna sit down.
I'll just sit down.
Or sit down.
It's from the Garretts. Some of you might know it. It's old, old. Don't you know that I love you? That song? I'll see if I can remember. I have to close my eyes. Don't you know that I formed you? Before you were born, I knew you. Can't you see that I've formed you in my hand? Look and see, I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. Look and see, I've engraved you in my love.
And that's all I remember.
Do it again.
Don't you know that I formed you? Before you were born, I knew you. Can't you see that my plan? Can't you see that you were born in my plan? Look and see, I've engraved you in the palm of my hand. Look and see, I've engraved you in my love.
That's all I know. But it was from the Garretts. Do you know this at all?
Yeah, I've heard of the Garretts.
Dale and, what's his name? Yeah. Garrett from New Zealand.
Yeah, from New Zealand, yeah.
But anyway, oh, that song just goes over my head so much because of what you were just saying. You know, it's like before we were born, you know? It's so awesome. In his hand. Mm-hmm.
All right, what are you going to do, Mark?
Oh, we could sing a song.